الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers, our mothers and sisters who may be listening over receivers. Last week, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we discussed the masnoon dua, the dua taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the month of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua during the month of Rajab. That oh Allah, grant us blessings and barakah in the month of Rajab and in the month of Sha'ban. And oh Allah, allow us to reach the blessed and the mubarak month of Ramadan. Allow us to reach Ramadan. We explained that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was seeking blessings, the main blessings that were being sought were spiritual blessings. That Allah ta'ala should give Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just to digress a little, that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching the ummah, advising the ummah, then it was more for the benefit of the ummah. It was not that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a low level of spirituality. The spirituality, the ruhaniyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the highest. For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the sahaba ikram that you should make istighfar and tawbah. You should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ فِي الْيَوْمِ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the sahaba ikram, encouraged them to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily. And then as an example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I make tawbah and istighfar more than 70 times a day. 70 times a day or more than 70 times a day. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a ma'asum Nabi. He was sinless. But yet he is making so much of tawbah and istighfar. Ulama-i-kiram explained ta'liman lil-ummah, to teach the ummah. That if your ma'asum sinless Nabi is making so much of tawbah and istighfar, shouldn't you also be making tawbah and istighfar? And how much more should you not be making tawbah and istighfar? So in the same way, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the highest level of ruhaniyat and spirituality. And he was teaching the ummah that during this month of Rajab and Sha'ban, make dua that Allah gives you barakah. Allah blesses you with a greater level of spirituality, a greater level of ibadat. Gives you barakat in your spirituality, blesses you in your ibadat, and lets you reach the month of Ramadan. Of course, that anticipates Mubarak month of Ramadan well in advance. We say, may Allah Ta'ala send countless durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. That if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't teach us this, we would have continued our month of Rajab and Sha'ban as any ordinary month. But the very fact that he taught us this little simple dua, but it creates an awareness that this month of Rajab, this month of Sha'ban is no ordinary month. It is a month where I need to now start focusing and I need to start preparing myself and mentally conditioning myself for the advent, for the Mubarak month of Ramadan. On a light-hearted note, he said there was a village, simple people. These people didn't know much about fasting and the month of Ramadan. So one Imam Sahib came to that locality and he started teaching the people. So he started teaching the people. He said, you see this, when this Ramadan comes, then from the morning, you are not allowed to eat till the evening and you have to do this and you have to read so much of this and that. They kept on speaking to them about that. And as the month of Rajab came and the month of Sha'ban came, he told them that you see now, when the sun sets, then you will see on that side, and the moon appears, then Ramadan will come. So they all went out with their sticks and their latis and whatever else it was. They said, as soon as we see this Ramadan, we're going to chase it away. Because when Ramadan comes, then we are not going to deprive us from eating. So they thought Ramadan was a person. So nevertheless, this month of Ramadan, of course, there was an incident that took place in one of the white schools where this little girl started doubting Islam because a fellow colleague said to her that you are claimed to be a Muslim and you claim that your God and your Allah loves you, but why does he make you starve during the month of Ramadan? So she started doubting her Islam. But we all know that this month of Ramadan is not a punishment for us. It is not a punishment for us. In reality, it is a training ground. It's like the person who is training to achieve a high goal. The person wants to participate in the Comrades Marathon. So now he has a personal trainer. And sometimes the trainer is hard on him. But the objective is that the trainer wants him to aspire a high goal. He wants him to come out first. And if he comes out first, he's going to win this and win that. And he's going to get this title and that title. And there's so many prizes to win. So sometimes the person is going through a training process, which outwardly may seem like it is hard, but the reality is that it is actually a mercy in disguise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month of Ramadan, which is actually a mercy in disguise. It's a training ground. It's an opportunity for us to spiritually overhaul ourselves, to spiritually maintain ourselves, to remove those cracks and those dents and all the problems that we find in our spirituality. The month of Ramadan is for that. It is the season for the believer to completely remove all his weaknesses, eliminate it, and transform his life and improve his life. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prepared us already from the month of Rajab and Sha'ban that now condition yourself, prepare yourself, start improving yourself. And therefore, respected elders and brothers, we're going to tie it up with the incident that took place in the month of Rajab during the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is referred to as the incident of Mi'raj. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among the great gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that Mi'raj and that Isra, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled by night from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then taken to the seven heavens, and in each heaven Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown the various secrets of the heaven. Allah Ta'ala, through the command of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a tour of Jannat and Jahannam and the various secrets that are there. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the opportunity to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. This entire incident took place in reality. It wasn't some kind of fantasy or some kind of a dream or some kind of an illusion. It was something which really happened. This is our aqidah, this is our belief. Amongst the very incidents that took place and the lofty rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one particular incident that took place which is applicable to us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his ummah the gift of salah. This was a hadiah, this was a gift. It was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Initially 50 salah. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the riwayat, met Nabi Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam. And then he advised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that go back to Allah and ask for a decrease. And in this manner, back and forth, until it was decreased to 5 salah. But then Allah ta'ala promised the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they will perform the 5 salah, but it will be multiplied by 10. 5 salah equivalent to 50 salah. So this was actually a gift by, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How great this gift was. Allah ta'ala could have sent Jibreel alayhi salam to the earth, to Madinah Sharif, to Makkah Sharif, and informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I am giving you this gift of salah. But here Allah ta'ala called Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right to his majestic court. And only Allah knows what that court is. But Allah Ta'ala called Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into his direct presence and then presented this gift of salah to the ummah. We can imagine the value and the worth of this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second pillar of Islam, after Iman comes salah. In one hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on the day of judgment, the first thing with which we will have to give account for will be our salah. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we need to understand, firstly, that this salah was not a some kind of a punishment. That Allah Ta'ala wanted to punish the ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that now you make sure you just stay in the masjid and lock yourself up there, and you just stand in this one position. It was actually a gift by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That my ummah, you have an opportunity to have a direct connection with me. You have an opportunity to have a direct link with me. You have an opportunity to have a form of mi'raj. That you are on the, you place your head on the farsh, but you actually are the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are actually in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Metaphorically, the person is in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was not like some kind of a punishment or a torture, but rather it was a gift to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, in preparation for the month of Ramadan, we know firstly in the month of Ramadan, we will have to perform our 5 salah, and that's compulsory upon every believer. It is the second pillar of Islam. النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم سيد من هذا حديث شريف: من ترك صلاة متعمدا فقد كفر. من ترك صلاة متعمدا فقد كفر. That person who leaves out salah intentionally, he has committed an act of disbelief. According to some of the jurists, that person who claims to be a mu'min and then intentionally leaves out his salah, he has come out of the fold. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and other jurists are of the opinion that the person's iman is still intact. The person will make tawbah and istighfar. However, it just shows how serious it is. The very fact that some fuqaha have stated that the person comes out of the fold of Islam and becomes a punishable offense, etc. We won't go into those details. But it just shows how serious this is. One alim said in a beautiful way, he said, imagine that Allah Ta'ala instructed Iblis, Shaytan, the devil, to make one sajda. To make one sajda, Allah instructed the devil to make one sajda and he refused. And because of his refusal to make one sajda, Allah Ta'ala cast him out. فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala instructed him to get out. You are now rejected from my court. You are cursed and you are distant from me. He says, we as believers, how many sajdas have we refused to make? How often we hear the muazzin calling out the adhan, come to salah, come to salah, come to the masjid, perform your salah. But yet, we do not perform our salah. So therefore, in this month of Rajab, this incident took place, wherein Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam travelled from Masjidul Aqsa, from Masjidul Haram rather, to Masjidul Aqsa. And thereafter Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam traversed the seven heavens. And this happened in such a short period of time that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned in that very night back to the comfort of his bed. So some may say, how is this possible? But today we see, many, many years ago, if you have to mention to people that you'll be able to cross one continent to another continent in a matter of a few hours, 17 or 20 hours by plane, and fly above the clouds, those individuals will say, you are dreaming. This can never happen. People used to travel by donkey. Caravans used to move from one town to another town by foot, by land, by animals. And thereafter we find that the ships commenced, and there too it would take sometimes 1 month to reach one country to one continent to the other continent. But today Allah Ta'ala, by the advancement of technology, we see that they speak about intercontinental missiles that travel from one continent to another continent in a matter of a few hours, and sometimes they call it those that travel at hypersonic speeds. You have the supersonic speed, and then you have the hypersonic speeds that can travel from one continent to another. So when Allah Ta'ala has given man this kind of technology, how then is it difficult for Allah Ta'ala to allow Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to traverse the seven heavens in a matter of the blink of an eye? Time is an entity which is in the total control of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Time is in Allah Ta'ala's control. And Allah Ta'ala has full control over that entity of time. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala took Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam right there. And there are many things, inshallah, if Allah gives the opportunity, we'll discuss. But this is a key factor. Our salah, respected elders and brothers. The gift of salah which was laid wasallam. Once again, it was a gift. It was a hadiah. Now imagine if a person was given a gift by a very important personality. The president of the country or the king of one of the Muslim countries. If he summoned the person to his court and he said, listen, I am presenting this gift for so and so person or for your family members. And now if that gift is given, and we are not appreciating that gift, what will we say about that individual? Appreciating the kindness of the king. Is not appreciating the good nature of the king, that the king has considered us. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, this gift of salah, what a great gift for us, respected elders and brothers. The salah will bring great amount of happiness in our lives. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, this musalla is named Musalla Umar al-Faruq, after Umar radiallahu anhu, who was known as al-Faruq. He would write to his governors. We know that he ruled then, in those eras, he ruled over 2/3 of the then known world. What a ruler he was. What a just ruler he was. That he forgot himself. He completely forgot himself. Sahaba Ikram said on one occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu stood up on the minbar and we counted more than 12 patches on his garment and he was Amirul Mu'mineen, ruler over 2/3 of the then known world. On one occasion, one of the ambassadors of one of the superpowers, either the Persians or the Romans, they came to meet Umar radiallahu anhu. So when he entered Madinatul Munawwara, he inquired from the people that, where is your king? Where is your king? Where is the palace of your king? They said, okay, where will you find your king? He said, you go to the graveyard, you'll see him sleeping under one tree. And there he went, and he saw Umar radiallahu anhu lying under one tree. He had his loincloth on, and the upper garment he didn't even have, and he was sleeping in that condition. Such was the condition of Umar radiallahu anhu. Absolute simplicity, and strove for the benefit of his people. He would roam the night and see the condition of his people and take necessary steps and measures to improve the quality of those who were his subordinates. So he had appointed various governors over the districts and regions that he ruled over. And he wrote a letter to all of them. It is recorded in Muwatta Imam Malik. He said to this effect, that in the أَهَمُّ أُمُورِكُمْ عِنْدِي الصَّلَاةِ, that as far as I am concerned, your most important matter is salah. مَنْ حَفِظَهَا وَحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا حَفِظَ دِينَهُ, that whoever amongst you, my governors, my rulers, you protect your salah, you are punctual over your salah, you ensure that your subordinates look after their salah, your entire deen has been protected. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ, أو كَمَا قَالَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And he said, whoever will destroy the salah, then he will be more destructive in other affairs. He will be more destructive in other affairs. That is why, respected elders and brothers, our salah is a very key component of our lives. If we want happiness in our lives, if we want a wonderful functional life and a systematic life, then for a believer, salah is an important component. Sometimes we look at the disbelievers. We say, well, they don't perform salah, and look at how organized they are, and look at how this is and how that is. We must never compare ourselves with the disbelievers. Our nourishment is from another source, and their nourishment is from another source. They are living in this world, for this world, and their entire objective is this world. Many of them feel that this world is, you live once. They say, you only live once. They have the YOLO. You only live once. Make the most of it. We also say, you only live once. Use this one opportunity that you have for your year after. Invest in your akhirah. Now, if we're going to look at the disbelievers, an incident comes to mind of Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi. He says that there was the royal falcon of the king. This falcon. So this royal falcon of the king, it's a story. He said this royal falcon of the king looked at the vultures. And he saw that the vultures were not making much of an effort because there were so many corpses lying around everywhere all over the show. And these vultures would just go and consume that rotting corpse and they would thrive. So he thought to himself that, you know, I have to fly high and scan the horizon and look down and search for my prey. And thereafter I have to stalk the tree and my prey and time it. And then I have to launch an attack and I have to hunt it and then kill it and so on. It's a very time-consuming exercise. It's a very tiresome exercise. I can simplify my life by just doing what the vultures are doing. That instead of me hunting my prey and killing it and start eating. So Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi says, "Mind the vultures." And the result and outcome was that inevitably the falcon did not have the capacity to digest that bacteria-infested food. That food is bacteria infested. We know that Allah has made the vultures such that they have such digestive enzyme, bacteria infested food. And as a result, the royal falcon became very ill and sick and eventually died. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi said, this is exactly the example of a mu'min and a disbeliever. The nourishment of a believer is totally different. And sometimes we look at the disbelievers and say, well, look how they're enjoying life. They doing this and they doing that and they doing like, they taking interest and they thriving. They deceiving the customers and they thriving, which is not really a reality. But in any case, sometimes a person looks at that and says, well, they doing this here and then they thriving. And if we as believers are going to get engaged in that same activity, it's going to result in nothing but anxiety, worry and disaster for us. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. Hence we should not look at the disbelievers. For them salah, for them prayer is confined to once a week. And they will go to the church once a week and they will pay their respects in the church or whichever other religious center they have. And that is their worship. For a believer, our deen of Islam is a complete way of life. Allah Ta'ala wants us to be connected to Him all the time. And in order for us to maintain this connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah has made it such that five times a day, we make sure that we've got our link with Allah Ta'ala. It is like the example of a cell phone. That cell phone always has to have its link with the tower. How frustrated we become when the reception is down. We say, what's happening? So what's happening? There's no reception. I can't speak. And sometimes we lodge a complaint. You need to increase the coverage in this area. I need to make sure that I always got connection. Because the person knows that if he doesn't have connection, he cannot function. He cannot make his phone calls. He cannot search the internet. He is completely stuck. And nowadays, the way our businesses are functioning, we are in need of these connections all the time. For a believer, we are always in need of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the mercy of Allah ta'ala that Allah has made it such that we can always have our connection. As you will find, Vodacom, MTN, all these service providers, they have a continuous flow of their masts. It's not that they have one mast in one area. And you'll find that there's a continuous flow of these masts. In the same way like how you have the electricity pylons. If at one point we break the pylon and say, listen, we don't need this pylon here. It's in action here. It's a sight for sore eyes. I don't like this pylon in this place. Just take it out and cut the wires. What's going to happen? The towns that follow thereafter will be deprived of electricity. In the same way, our electricity comes through our salah. This is our generating capacity. There has to be a continuous flow. We establish our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We plug in. We plug in our ruhaniyat and our connectors. In the masjid for the Fajr Salah, thereafter again for the Dhuhr Salah, thereafter again we re-establish the connection for the Asr Salah, thereafter we re-establish our connection with the Maghrib Salah, and finally with the Isha Salah, and a believer his entire day can be firmly connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because a mu'min has to be connected. For respected elders and brothers, today one brother said something remarkable. He said that, Maulana, I became very sick, and as a result I had to be, I was ill, and for him, he has to stay within the confines of his home. That's an exceptional case. But some people use this excuse and stay in the confines of their home. And this sometimes we have to really look deep in the heart. Is it really that, or is it laziness that I do not want to go to the masjid and connect myself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am not here to judge. We should look within our own hearts. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. We should look within our own hearts. What really is the reason that is keeping us away from connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or connecting with the masjid? So he said, Maulana, you know, I stayed one or two days at home, but I couldn't take it. He said, because when I come to the masjid, then I feel like there is a feeling, I feel that there is some sort of connection. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us that kind of a connection. And then one hadith, inshallah, if we have another opportunity, we'll continue. سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Allah has promised His shade on the day of Qiyamah, on that day when there will be no shade except the shade of the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Amongst those categories of individuals, رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. That person whose heart is attached to the masjid, his heart is attached to the place of salah, the musalla, the masjid, his heart is linked there. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call that person. Because if a person's heart is attached to the masjid, it means his heart is attached to Allah. Because the masjid is the house of Allah. That musalla is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign that the person's heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us that kind of muhabbat and love. The truth of the matter is, respected elders and brothers, if we have to really ponder and ask ourselves, that Allah has blessed me with so many bounties. Allah gave me my eyes, my ears, my heart, liver, lungs, all functioning. I didn't have to pay for these things. Allah Ta'ala gave it free of charge. In sajda from now till the day I die, I still will not be able to pay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one bounty, for one ni'mah. The least I can do is at least 5 times a day, go before Allah Ta'ala, express my gratitude before Allah Ta'ala. That Ya Allah, I am again here at your door. I am again here to offer my appreciation to you. That Ya Allah, you have blessed me with so many bounties and ni'mats. The least I can do is 5 times a day, establish my presence and connection with you. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, during this month of Rajab, this is the lesson that we learn. The night of Mi'raj, a gift given to Rasulullah SAW, this 5 salah, equivalent to 50 salah. We as believers in preparation for the month of Ramadan, need to look at our salah. Is there any weakness in our salah? If alhamdulillah we're coming for 5 times salah in the masjid, then we need to go one step further. What is the level of concentration in my salah? Am I focused in my salah? Or am I not focused in my salah? And for those who are not coming to the masjid and only coming once a week, it is time for us to change. How long are we going to remain distant from the door of Allah Ta'ala? We are moving closer to our grave. As the poet says, ke qadam su'e marqad, nazar su'e dunya. Dunya, kaha ja rahe ho, kidhar dekhta ho. You are walking towards your grave. You are moving towards your grave. But your nazar is on dunya. Your nazar is on dunya. Which direction you walking and which direction you looking? Umr ho rahi hai misl barf kam. Umr ho rahi hai misl barf kam. Chupke chupke, rafta rafta, dam badam. Slowly but surely our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to improve our salah, to be punctual on our salah, to establish the second pillar of Islam, to look after this hadiya and this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala grant me firstly and the entire ummah the ability and tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Brothers are requested to fill all the gaps, make space for those who are in the back. And those who do not find space in this level downstairs also, the musallas are there, you can go down inshallah. Ideally the brothers who are in the last saf could move forward and allow for those to pass through.